Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
For empathy, for compassion.
The me nobody sees.
We create our own realities.
A deep insight into mental health.
Yes, welcome to the August edition of The Me Nobody Sees. And we do feel at TRE that in this day and age, it's crucial that we share our own stories in order to break down the stigma of mental health problems. I've got three lovely ladies with me again in the studio who've all had experience of mental illness, either personally or other. Sadly, there's no Louise Barber, our clinical psychologist, this month. She will be joining us again next month. But Tanya Mather is back with us, and she's here to help from a holistic point of view. We'd love you to join in the conversation. I will give you the contact details very shortly. But for the moment, I'd like to welcome to the show Lisa Ali, Nicole King and Tanya Mather.
Good afternoon.
Oh, say that again.
Good afternoon.
That's it, I can hear you now. Welcome to the show.
The Me Nobody Sees, a deep insight into mental health.
Here's the contact details.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
First of all, I want to thank all three of you ladies, because it's not easy, I know. They say sharing is caring, but, you know, all of a sudden you feel very vulnerable and you think, do I really want to tell my story? But it has been helping others, the shows that we've done so far. So I want to thank you all for being brave. Somebody who's no stranger to the show, Nicole, are you brave enough to tell us your story?
I don't really know that I have a story. Unfortunately, I think there's been a lot of psychological abuse throughout my life that you don't necessarily identify at the time. And I think possibly referring to issues of this caliber as mental health makes us talk about it less, as opposed to people unfortunately meet or have family members that can be abusive, and it can set certain patterns in the way one then grows up, responds to others, circumstances, without us even realizing it. But I don't think that the mental health aspect encourages people to talk about it in general, because it sounds like something perhaps it's not really mental health issue, it's more of a psychological abuse issue.
I think you're right. I think the word mental actually is not really probably the right word to use. It is the word that we all use in the media. It's the word that explains
it. It's the accepted terminology.
Yeah, it's just, it's not a nice word. So maybe we should change that. Maybe we should, what should we call it? Psychological issues? Does that sound any better?
And we actually talked about this at the last United Nationalities Marbella Summit, because the whole focus was on suicide prevention, setting up 24-hour suicide prevention lines. And the thing that come up was a lot of people, again, not embracing the terminology and therefore not feeling identified. And a lot of people go unhelped because we don't think we have a mental problem. There's nothing wrong with my mental state of mind. I have received things done to me or said to me or situations that have left me psychologically damaged, but it doesn't mean I've got any mental issues. So I'm the first one to think maybe I've never spoken about it or done anything about it, because I've never felt there was a category for me, because I certainly don't see myself as having a mental illness or deficiency or anything. So I've never perhaps looked for the help thinking that I have something else.
Yeah, it's interesting that with mental health issues, and I know I mentioned this when I told my story, the first thing people did when I was a child was send me to a psychiatrist, send me to a counsellor, you need to talk, have you got bad parents, have you had a bad childhood? There's nothing, I can't honestly say I've had a bad life, I've had a blessed life, I've had a lovely life, but I know that I have clinical depression, so I know I have a low serotonin and I need tablets to keep it balanced. But does that mean I have mental health issues?
Yeah, and then there are others who don't have any of that. And yet we're still classified in this mental health when the only thing that happened to me was unfortunate circumstances. But I don't have any hormonal imbalances. I don't have any chemical imbalances. There is no prescription to say, take this and you will be over what happened to you previously. Because my circumstance is different, and yet it's all bound together in this mental health. So mine's not even clinical, biological. It's just the circumstances I found myself in, and then perhaps because of that, let myself then continue to be in different situation, but same song, different tune.
Right. How do you feel about that, Lisa?
I think it's really interesting because I know people that have, conditions diagnosed, conditions like you do, other people that I'm very close to. And I've never had that. And a bit like Nicole, it's difficult then to say that I have mental health problems because that's not how I would identify myself. I think I would say that I've had times where I felt low and depressed, but that doesn't mean I have depression. It's not diagnosed, you know, and I tell this, you know, I can pinpoint it. When my mum passed away, you know, she was such an emotional support, and with that gone, that my world kind of shifted. And I went to the doctors and they did this old kind of like one page, you know, do you laugh at things on the telly? Well, it depends if it's funny or not, you know. Do you do this or do you, you know? And I came, you know, and I didn't want antidepressants. I just really wanted some bereavement counselling or support or something like that. And it came away with a very odd, you know, something like severely mildly depressed. I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Severely mildly.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of like, well, of course I'm bloody depressed.
Yeah, yes,
my mum's just died. I mean, you know, really, of course, that's not going to be the easiest time of my life. So I hear exactly what Nicole is saying. I think there's a whole swathe of things and people who might not feel able to quite identify with diagnosed conditions. Like, as I say, I wouldn't identify with a diagnosed condition, but I've had periods in my life where I've struggled, you know, and I've been quite open post-COVID as well. Things that I had never associated with me. You know, my sister used to say to me, you're like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm struggling with things, you know, things that make me feel overwhelmed or anxious, but I don't think I have anxiety. So I think Nicole's got an excellent point. There are so many other things that people feel or have happened to them, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they have a mental health issue.
And I think everybody is going to go through some point, either from a death or from loss of a job, loss of a loved one. People are going to go through times when they are depressed and they are down, or something that's not happened very nice in their life. But you are right. Does that mean that they have a psychological condition, or is it just being human? What do you think, Tanya?
I think it's beautiful conversation. And I think one of the things that we can look at when what we're discussing to a large extent is the huge amount of change that's happening, and we struggle with a change, whether it's a loss of a parent, whether it's something that we're a job change, or we lose our home or something like that. And what happens is that our brain actually, there's a process in neuroscience where our brain, it's a neurological done deal, and what we're trying to do is, it's called neuroception. So what we're looking at is our brain, and it's the most primitive part of our brain, and it's looking for some kind of sense. It's looking for safety. So it's there to protect us. If there's a flame, then it's like, no, don't touch that. You know, we're gonna hurt ourselves. And so it's there to protect us. What happens is that when we are in a situation where we are in overwhelm, we're in stress, we can't cope because there's too many demands on us in our life, our brain goes into overload. And so what we need to really try and do. It's a little bit crackling, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. No, we can't hear it. Oh,
okay.
It's probably your head.
It's in my head.
Just try. It's in your head. Just try and push your headphones in a little bit. Can you
okay.
see where they go?
So
we can't hear it. You're fine.
So yeah. So I think what it is looking at this and seeing how can we change our and shift our perspective, or how can we find some form of safety. So going to a counselor, speaking to somebody, maybe trying some therapy, maybe, you know, just taking some self-care self-care. Self-care is, for me, is one of the most powerful. Taking some time off, you know, I think what we're living in a society where it's way overstimulated. There's a huge amount of stimulus. Our central nervous system is overloaded. So we're going into a time where it's, and I like to, we look at it as a bank account. Imagine a bank account. So if we are taking in our energy bank account, so if we're spending a lot of energy and we're not doing anything to restore and to put back into that account, we're going to go into the red. Okay, yes. So what we're doing is we're living in a time where we have got huge amount of things and activities that are using up our energy. So it's a personal energy problem to a large extent, so that when a parent passes away, for example, is how can we find safety and time to really take out to address what is what we're going on, connect with our emotions and find out what is and have some support, so that have that support. I think one of the problems when I suffered depression, I know that it was a sense of disconnection from everything and a lack of love, a profound lack of love. And aww. love is an energy. Love is a frequency. It's an energy. So yeah. When we connect into our heart center and we feel that energy, it's not the romantic love of, oh, I haven't got a boyfriend and he doesn't love me, my mom didn't love me and all those kind of things. When we understand that love is a frequency and we vibrate on that frequency, our life transforms and we start living a healthier and more sustainable life.
Yeah. And I think you're right with the word change, because whether it's a divorce, whether it's the loss of a loved one, it's suddenly your life has changed. Your life will never be the same again. And that's what I think people find it hard to come to terms with.
Yeah.
So I think the word change is right.
Yeah. I work a lot in water. And for me, the metaphor of water is beautiful. So if we look at it, when something happens to us that's traumatic or whatever, our waters get murky. Okay, so we can't see clearly. So it's necessary to have some downtime so that when the waters are still, all the murkiness goes to the ground and then we have a clear vision. So I like to look at it in those terms. So yeah. it's taking that time out and doing something that is really, that's why, you know, sometimes we feel we need a vacation or we need to get away. But I think it's more of getting away is more going within.
Yeah. And when you start to feel anxious or overwhelmed, Lisa, do you have any tips for anybody else of how you manage to calm yourself down?
What, other than kicking the cat or beating Terry?
You would never kick the cat. You might beat Terry, but you would never kick Milo.
No, I think it's a really interesting point. I think the first thing you've got to do is kind of acknowledge it. Because if you don't know it and if you don't sense how it feels, it is that you know, well, what is it? And I think the first time when I... And again, as I say, I wouldn't say that I've experienced anxiety on a diagnosed level, but I think that the first time it happened, you know, I thought, what's going on? Why am I being like this? Why is this happening to me? What's going on here? So I think the first thing is you have to sort of realise what it is. I think I know with me that things will pass as well. And I know other people aren't as lucky as that. You know, they live with things like anxiety or depression day in, day out, day in, day out. And I know mine will be a temporary thing. And I just try and take a step back and do the least amount that I need to do that I have to do at that particular time.
Yeah.
You know, so there can be a sense of like, well, like if I just do this or go here or, you know, then it's all going to go away. And I think it's almost like Tanya was saying, it's like you need to be still and kind of back away from it almost.
I don't think you should force yourself to do anything. I think it is self-care. If you don't feel like you want to go somewhere where there's a crowd of people at any particular time, then don't go.
Yeah.
You've got to look after yourself. And I don't believe people should say, oh, you know, you'll feel better when you get out there, or let's do this, think positive. It doesn't help. It really doesn't.
No, and I think there can be that sense, particularly of you know, how perhaps you might have behaved in the past and to how you are at this present time, where it's like, well, what's wrong with her? You know, and it's sort of like, well, there's nothing wrong. But yeah. Sometimes you just
you not know, in the mood.
Just things are in a place where you don't necessarily want to do certain things because that feels like it's going to take too much from you and you need to do a bit less.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing how you don't know. I mean, Nicole and I were talking about this. You don't know how you're going to feel from one minute to the next. You can be absolutely fine and go through life and then all of a sudden a bit of a black cloud comes over you and suddenly your confidence goes. And I mean, I remember having a panic attack in a massive I can't remember what it's called, store in Nottingham. I think it was the Victoria Centre, and I honestly thought I was having a heart attack. I was in my 20s and I was sweating and my heart was beating and my teeth were chattering, and my mum said I went white, and she said, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. And we realised afterwards I was having a panic attack. Why? Not a clue. Nothing had happened.
It must be horrible.
It was quite scary, yeah. And to be honest, it's probably happened twice in my life. It doesn't happen regularly, but it makes you wonder. There's a massive psychological and physiological connection, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to witness. I know my daughter suffers from social anxiety and she's 18. Yeah. And it's really difficult to see that, you know, and there's a lot of kids who are really struggling to, you know, it's one of the things that I don't think we're really addressing, because we haven't given them the tools to be able to cope. You know, there's such pressure on them as well, and they're very much focused on their social media.
I know.
And their lives don't look exactly what lives should look like because of that. And I think
unrealistic demand.
Big disconnect there. Even in our lives, I think, you know, we look at all those whatever. Yeah. And we let that life of like what it should look like, you know, and then we look at our own lives and it's like,
I always think it's tough for first time mothers because, you know, they must see all the pictures on Instagram and social media, the perfect mother with a perfect baby always looking. And it's not like that, is it? You, being a first time mother or being a mother at any point. So it must be tough. They must feel like, oh my God, why isn't my life perfect? You've got a screaming baby and dirty nappies and stuff like that.
I think it's really sort of realizing that we are human and we, you know, we have emotions. We're still learning how to manage our emotions and understand our emotions. And I think even just from a humanity point of view, I think we're still learning and evolving.
Yeah, for sure. So, Nicole, when what happened to you during your life, which is not a mental health condition, but things that have happened, does it come back up and bite you on the bum? Does occasionally something trigger it and you start to remember and you start to feel a bit down, or doesn't it work like that?
No, not at all. I think that I learned very early on to just put all emotions of that respect away, that it was an inconvenience. And obviously, if you have something that you consider makes you feel guilty or shameful or dirty, even though it's not your fault, if anyone then acknowledges that, it means they are also then sharing and or participating and acknowledging. And a lot of people, going back to this change thing, changing one's whole life because of a circumstance is easier to just pretend the circumstance isn't there. So I very early on realised that you just...
Put it in a box.
And so unfortunately, I think that led to many years of later on in a partnership, when things were abusive or really not acceptable, I just did what I had to do for the family, because that's what one does. So more than it affected me in one way, it was more conditioning me to accept certain things that were certainly unacceptable. I know now, in hindsight.
Is that the right thing to do? Is that the right thing for Nicole to do?
I think we all learn our own coping mechanisms. I think it's very valid. It's just to say, you know, have that very sort of rational way of thinking, this is not convenient for me, and you put it aside. And we go back to the brain when there's a rewiring of our brain. So every time we have a thought, those neurons fire together and wire together. So if we're continually thinking about something, we're reinforcing. It's like that bridge gets stronger and stronger. Whereas if we can just forget about that thought and move on, we don't... Those neural connections stop firing and wiring together. So that's one brilliant way of doing it. So congratulations, Nicole, of finding that out, because that's one way of doing it. And really, you know, if you look at Joe Dispenza's work where he talks about rewiring of the brain and all the science that's happening at the moment is really interesting. So I think on that level, that's one way of doing it. I think I look at the world as far as energy is concerned. So when we look at, there's a brilliant map of consciousness, and it's by David Hawkins. And it talks about, you know, you were talking about those emotions of anger and fear and grief and shame and all of those and guilt. And they're very low frequency vibrations. So we'll vibrate in that. So when we're vibrating in those low frequency vibrations, that's what we're drawing to us. And when we have higher vibrations, which is peace and joy and love and courage and neutrality, these are higher vibrations, and we start vibrating in that way, then we start attracting those things to us and our lives improve radically.
I have found that living in my La La Land has actually, I've had quite a nice life.
Whereas if
I really had centered on the other, not that it doesn't exist, that obviously it conditions certain ways we are, but
shouldn't you, and I'm not preaching, I don't know, but from everything that we've been told, shouldn't you talk about it? Isn't it a good idea to talk about it, get it out?
Two things to hear. One is, if you talk about it, it's with a mental health expert, and there was nothing wrong with my mental health. And when I did talk about it, I was encouraged as a child to talk about it with my mother, which is what one would expect. And I didn't want to do this. I was 14 at the time, and I really didn't want to do this because I knew my mom, and I always anticipated that this would not be something that she'd be able to deal with. And my friend convinced me against my better judgment, because before I shared, I had at least the possibility that she would have done something to protect me. Mm. After I shared, and the change, the realization, the reality, the consequences, it was a very big realization at 14, like, oh, you keep this stuff to yourself. I'm going to let you out of this shit. Keep this shit to yourself. I was so worried she was going to swear on air.
I've never done it before. I've obviously put it in my head when we were talking outside.
Lisa just normally knocks the microphone off and it starts
to... So I kind of thought
and realised at an early age, first of all, if I wanted to talk, who would I talk to? There is no one to talk to. You just deal with it.
I think it's very important, if you're going to talk to somebody, that it's got to be in a safe environment and somebody who's not going to judge you.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when there's nothing to be judged. If you're the victim of abuse, and this is it, someone who's not going to judge you. I've had several people of interviewing, and they've said, "Oh, this, that, and then, oh, this, and that, and then," and I don't judge. And for me, when they say that, they've already done it. They've already done it, because otherwise you don't use that terminology. I think a lot of people, market research analyst, and I don't think people realize how much they say, either by saying nothing or by saying things like, oh, I don't judge. Someone who doesn't judge doesn't say they don't judge, because it's not in their vibration.
Well, we have to take our first advert break, but we'll be right back after these messages.
Talk Radio Europe.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selina McKenzie.
This is the Me That Nobody Sees with Tanya Mather, Lisa Ali and Nicole King. And Cookie sent a WhatsApp in, Tanya, for you. She said, Rife Frequencies. Has your guest heard of Royal Rife and his work with frequencies? I'm in contact with Matthew Rife and I'm going to get one of his machines.
Okay, I hadn't heard about that, which is lovely, because it's there are a lot of machines, a lot of applications, a lot of brilliant tools that can help us. Yeah, definitely, especially when we haven't learned how to do it ourselves. But I do believe that our body we're biologically wired to have all of the chemicals and all of everything within us to raise our own frequency through whatever we do and the practices and our thoughts and how we speak and all of these kind of things. Definitely this helps. So somebody who's got a really struggling in a situation where they can't even get out of it, because you know what happens is that I look at it talking about shit, we stand in shit and it smells bad and whatever, and then we get into it and it gets up to our knees, and then we kind of get used to the smell until it gets up to our nose, and it's like, okay, I cannot tolerate this anymore, I have to do something about it, right? And that's when these kind of things will help. So yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah,
wow.
Go for it. Yeah,
I'll forward
it's
you.
Fascinating. Yeah,
the machine I use is The Greatest Showman. That vibrancy. If I can't get my stuff together in the morning or get to that frequency of joy that I need to get to before I go face the world, I will put the soundtrack of The Greatest Showman and this is me, and then I'm like stomping around.
You're a warrior.
So that's, again, it's using sound, vibration, frequency.
For me, it's obviously, you know me and what I do, but for me, obviously, it's exercise. You know, even if I just get out on the Paseo, like stomping down the Paseo, or my preferred choice is getting in the gym and
Yeah,
taking some out iron and, yeah. You know, we were leg pressing and all that sort of stuff. And to get to, you know, it's a good way to clear my head.
And for you, Tanya, I know it's nature, isn't it? Being out in nature helps.
Nature is definitely my preferred way of connecting, because I think that it connects us with our own nature. I'm exploring a lot at the moment, sound. Mm-hmm. So doing
Ooh,
a lot of...
Tell us about your singing bowl.
Yes, so I had a crystal quartz bowl ages ago, and I work in water, so recently I've been taking it into the water, which is phenomenal, because sound travels 4 times faster and more efficiently in water than it does in the air. So I've taken the crystal bowl in that into the water, into when I do my Aichi experiences and my Watsu and so on, which are water therapies that I do. And also I'm a massage therapist, so I use Tibetan singing bowls and I put them on the people, so that frequency, that vibration helps. So after a nice relaxing massage, then your body is relaxed, you're open to these vibrations. And then I put these bowls, I've got 3 bowls and they're singing bowls, and I put them on the body, and then that vibration goes directly into the cells. And if you consider that our body is 70% water, mm-hmm. we can shift our body.
Can we hear it?
Yes. So these are beautiful Tibetan bowls, and yeah.
What a wonderful sound. It goes on and on. That's amazing. Blimey, how interesting. Well, we'll get all your details afterwards in case anybody wants to come and see you for some of your therapy. Cookie said grounding is also very good, bare feet on the grass.
It's excellent.
I can get that. It's interesting you said, Nicole, about getting out of bed and facing the world. And I always think, well, I'm fine now, but I always used to think mornings were the worst times, getting out of bed and doing stuff. And somebody sent me this and I thought it was great, and it says, please don't judge people. You don't know what it took for someone to get out of bed in the morning, look and feel as presentable as possible and face the day. You never really know the daily struggles of others. And it's true, you can see somebody up, you're confident, you're beautiful, you're the well, and think their world's wonderful, but nobody actually knows, which is why this is called the me nobody sees. Mm. It's what's inside.
I think one of the things is that we are we're geared towards putting on a face. And I think one of the things is to really discover our true authentic self. So when we do connect with that and we're able to express ourselves authentically and without this mask of whatever it is who our family or our society expects us to be, and it takes a lot of courage. But the word courage comes from cœur, which is a French word and means heart. So I go back to the heart. And when we have that strength, we are able to start self-expressing in a different way. And I'm on a journey where I left corporate job and I'm now exploring this. And it's beautiful because I'm allowing myself to explore these things in a lot of fun ways. You know, I've got my bowl, which are my toys, and you know, all the other experience that I've had. And I think this is for people to really sit down and say, you know, how do I want to live my life? What is it that makes me happy? What is it that makes me joyful? Are the friends that I have at the moment, you know, making me happy? Or maybe I should just say goodbye to some of these friends and create new friends where you can resonate on the same level.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes you have to, because friends don't make you happy, they're just making your life miserable, so it's time to move on.
Which means they weren't friends, they were just circumstances in your life. And until you take stock of it and think about it, and yeah, as you said, actually like realize what's going on. But I think sometimes we're scared to make those changes
again,
when they're exactly what needs to be done.
Yeah, it's change again, isn't it, when you've lived your life in such a way, having to change is a massive thing. And it's easier to just stay put. I suppose it's like a marriage. It's easier to stay in the marriage than break away.
Yeah,
particularly if you know it's going to be difficult, traumatic.
Yeah, you know what you're going to have
you
to
know
go
what
through.
You're going to go through, or you think you know what you're going to go through,
because otherwise if you weren't upset about it, then you weren't a caring person in the first place, you know, in the marriage or whatever. Okay. One of the things that makes me happy, and it's an article that somebody sent me, and it is the emotional support of animals. And I don't know about Milo and Boy, but my little dogs, they always know when I'm upset. They always come and sit with me and they come and snuggle, and it's like, Mum, please don't be upset. And I love that about animals. Animals can really help. Does Milo do that? Being a cat, not a dog.
Milo tends to do what he wants. But, you know, actually, I know that he missed me when I was away because he just wouldn't leave my side, you know. And I did have a cat, though, my lovely Millie cat. She would always know if I was upset, and she would come and she'd sit with me. And she was such a standoffish cat. She'd stomp into a room and she'd look at you and she'd go, yeah, stomp off, you know. But she would come and she'd sit with you. She knew if you, for such a stroppy cat.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, if I can get hold of him, I'll kiss him and squeeze him. But and then he bites me, but then it's all good.
What about little boy, your little cutie?
Well, my little boy, I never thought I'd have another dog after Darling, but undeniably they are great company. And particularly when there are hard days, or when you know really don't want to go and face the world, they still have to have their walks. And they need their food, and I think it's very good therapy because they keep you making sure there's food in the house, that you leave the house. So, and they are they're very sensitive, they're very aware.
And it's unconditional love.
Yeah, and it's good company. So highly recommend that. It's good to have an animal, particularly if you feel. So I never feel lonely. I love my own company. But I would never leave the house because I'm very happy on my own. Yeah. So thanks to boy, even like with work, obviously I go out a lot. I meet a lot of people, and in my free time, I prefer just to be quiet, nature, paint, play the piano, do my own thing.
Play the piano.
I do. So having my little boy makes me, as with Darling, makes you do certain things that otherwise maybe I wouldn't do.
Do you have pets, Tanya?
I do. I have three cats and a dog.
And they get on?
I talk to them. Yeah, I do therapy with them. But I think one of the interesting things is, apart from the joy of having the animals, I think it's caring for another being, and I think one of the things when we're depressed or we are in a bad situation, and as difficult as this may sound, is to actually go out and help somebody else.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, maybe maybe it's with an animal shelter. You know, I know we've got some fantastic animal shelters here that they're looking for volunteers to just go up and walk the dogs, or maybe in a charity.
Yeah.
You know, you can actually, and that helps you feel better. You know, go out and do something to feel that you're contributing. It's about contribution.
A bit rewarding, I would imagine.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was just thinking about this. I was just going to say, actually, all of us have jobs where we give quite a lot to other people. And that can be quite tough in itself. You know, when you're kind of like you've got you're surrounded by people and you're giving your energy to them as well.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like my clients, I love them all. I hasten to add, if anyone listening to this, they're all fantastic. But yeah, you know, you give out a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of energy, and I think that's sometimes when I kind of know that I'm draining, and I think, I just need a bit of time to myself here, catch up.
And the same for you, Nicole, with your various jobs, but particularly the TV, Marbella TV, because you have to be happy on the television.
And you have to really listen.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like spacey. I live in normally my la-la land. I really have to be consciously aware that I'm there to listen so that I can understand what they're saying and then ask questions. And as you say, you've got to be on. And I very, very, very rarely cancel when you just really... I can't get there to be able to do anyone justice. But yes, it does. And then you meet a lot of people, taking a lot of energies. And there are some energies that are just wonderful, that when you're with someone, they either give you energy and you feel you're getting it without taking anything. And there's others that you're matching on an equal energy. But there are some that just leave you absolutely exhausted. And in a TV show, for example, when you've met a lot of people, just the intensity of it.
Yeah.
So
no wonder you want to go home and stay in with boy. Yeah,
I do. I've never been one for big parties. I don't like big crowds. In England, I thought it was because I was so tiny and I was always at armpit level. But no, I really, prefer a smaller group.
Yeah, I agree.
Four or six people, but I'm not a big, let's just walk around chatting about banalities. It's never really been my thing.
Yeah. And it must, Tanya, if you're doing massage work and you're helping people with, let's say, in inverted commas, mental health issues, it must be a draining job for you.
I've learned how to manage my energy, and also when we understand our physical energy and the actual universe and how we function, there's a toroidal field around us. So every single cell has a toroidal field, our body has a toroidal field, the world has a field, and everything in the universe. So when we struggle to think that we are all one, when we see it in terms of having this toroidal field, we are actually one. So what I do is I ensure that my field is amplified, it's strong, it's in good resonance, and then anybody entering in my field will enter into my resonance. So before, I used to work in travel, and it was really interesting. I'd have a client who would come, you know, they'd come from the States mostly, and they've lost their luggage, they've missed their flight, they'd whatever, and they're angry as anything. And I had this way of just staying in my center, breathing deeply, connecting with my breath, which is my anchor to the present moment. And it helps us, you know, when we exercise, we're breathing very deeply. It helps us oxygenate our body. But when we connect with our heart center and we connect with this resonance, that person will come into our resonant field. So after 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes, they would be smiling, and it's like, and I'd say, how can I help you? And then I'd solve them. But they would, their energy, so I don't get into their energy field. I ensure that people will come into my energy field. Okay. So all I need to do is ensure that my energy, I'm meditating every day, I'm doing things that elevate and make sure that my resonant field is strong.
So you're giving, they're not taking from you.
I think it's more of an exchange. So when you say, you know, when we're with people, when we learn how to do this, it's really fun, because I start playing with it. It's like when I go into a place, and how can my energy shift that atmosphere and solve problems from an energetic point of view? It's really quite interesting. Yeah. I have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Right, we need to take another advert break. We'll be back on the other side.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
So this is the last quarter of an hour of the Me Nobody Sees, and Tanya, you're going to tell us a bit about breath work.
Yeah, so breath is beautiful, because it's with us, you know, so long as we're breathing, we're alive, right? And the breath is, when we start expanding our breath, it connects to the parasympathetic nervous system, in particular to the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is the one that helps us to rest and restore. So if we're always on our sympathetic nervous system, which is go, 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 and we don't, you know, put the money in our bank by slowing down. And one of the beautiful ways, a lot of the time is difficult, because our mind continues functioning. So a beautiful way to do this is to connect to the breath. So if you're sitting there and listening for the moment, just put your feet on the ground, make sure your feet are grounded. If your shoes are off, because that's what, you know, grounding with barefoot is even better. And just with your back straight, and start connecting with your breath, and just noticing what the sensation of breathing is and how it feels as you take your breath in. Notice how your body expands, and then how it shrinks in, it sort of contracts. And what we're going to do is, on the exhalation, we're going to try and push out all of the breath. And how do we do this? With our rib cage, we squeeze our rib cage and we squeeze our belly, so that we exhale to the right to the end. And when we think we can't do any more, we push out even a little bit more, and then we relax those muscles and we allow the air to come in. And it's much easier way to take a deep breath, because whenever I say to somebody, take a deep breath, and they go, and then the shoulders come up and we have this big breath coming out from the top, but really we need to expand on a lateral level. So we need to go down into our breath. And so when we do this exercise, we focus on the exhalation, and then we allow the breath to come in. Our parasympathetic system kicks in, which is the rest and restore. So if we're sitting on the beach, or we're sitting at home alone with our dog or whatever, when we do this practice, and it can take 3 to 5 breaths and it'll change your state. It's a biological shift that will happen. So when we learn these little techniques and tools, that it really helps us in those moments of anguish, or when we're about to say something that we might regret, you know, take a deep breath in, exhale, think about whether you really want to say that, because when you do say that thing that's going to be nice to you, it's going to be a low vibration comment about some situation or a judgment, we're sharing that experience with that person. So it's our experience as well. It's an exchange.
Yeah.
So when we learn how we can actually bring in these beautiful higher frequency experiences to us, because we can create them, we're co-creators. And when we tap into that, it's really, life is very exciting.
Yeah. And always best to wait. I always think if somebody upsets you, or you in an argument with a shop over a return or something like that, if somebody sends an email or a message that's not very nice, wait 24 hours. Don't react straight away, because your immediate thought process is not good. It's best to just calm down a little bit first.
Yes. And it's also, you know, when a thought comes in, when we look at that thought and we identify with that thought, if we can take a deep breath and just say, I can choose to think something differently, and we start rewiring our brains, and it's very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. So what would your, finally, Nicole, your top tip be? You were just saying about putting yourself first.
I would definitely say that no matter the circumstances, without hurting others, undeniably, but that we should put ourselves first. Mm. I learned very early to not sacrifice myself, take myself out the equation for the greater good. Mm. And I now firmly believe that the better I feel, the more good that you can do, and it's better for everyone. And there's nothing worse than sacrificing yourself and still not getting the desired result. At least if you choose your own words, your own actions, and it doesn't work out the right way, well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So trust your own instinct.
Lisa, you said it's not selfish at all to think of yourself.
No, I talk a lot with my clients who have maybe been struggling a lot over the years, and to find time for themselves, and they have a sense that because they're the bottom of the pile, that's okay, and it's selfish to put themselves further up the train, like Nicole was just saying. And actually, I always say, is it selfish or is it selfless? If you don't look after yourself, nobody else can or will in the same way. And by taking care of yourself, then you have the capacity to take care of others.
Yeah, good point, well made. Well, we do need to take our third and final advert break, but we will be right back.
Talk Radio Europe.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selina McKenzie.
Okie dokie, we're almost out of time. I just want to go to each of my guests to say thank you and to tell us a bit about what they do, Nicole, if people didn't already know.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the programme. It's been nice to share. I have an English language television show, which I do with the Spanish Town Hall of Marbella's TV station in the town hall. And I very much like the behind the scenes. I've been in Marbella since a kid, on holidays in the Don Pepe. I moved over here to work in the 80s, Madrid 20 years. I feel very Spanglish. And I'm also market research by profession. And it just seemed to me that it was a great way to unite the 147 nationalities in our city through television and radio, because we do all share two things in common. We love living here and we love ourselves. Everyone's sharing something, whether it's to benefit a charity or to be healthy or to be psychologically sound, or we all have something to share. And it's a nice way of getting people together, and then we can see how we can help each other, basically to promote a more of a community spirit here.
Yeah.
Because there are many of us who live normal lives, work normal jobs, have families, and we want to fill in the gaps of the beautiful homes, great schools, lovely for little ones, great for when you're older, but what about the bits in the middle?
Yeah.
So, and I really love it. I get to meet so many people. Through that, it developed the United Nationalities of Marbella Summit, which I'm English, so I'm really being sarcastic. I'm summing it up. It's Miss Summit Up, but it's become quite an annual event, which is a unique event where I bring together councillors and embassies and the general public and businesses and charities and associations that I see throughout the year, or the years and realise, well, you really should know this one, and they're doing something that could really help you. But we very rarely get these opportunities to interact. So it's a fun, interactive thing for everybody. And initially it's the 24th of November. But I had a very good meeting today in a beautiful place, which I think would be ideal for the event. So maybe the date will change because they got a few events that day. But I'm looking at the Club Med Magna Marbella.
Oh, lovely.
And they really want to be part of it. And I think it would be nice because we all get to see the Don Miguel. We get to see what it's changed into. It'll be 5-star. I'd like everyone to have a really good time and, you know, help people want to come by making it fun and exclusive and nice. So,
if people want to find out about United Nations or Marbella TV, what's the best way to do it? Put those words into the internet?
Yeah, I mean, the TV show is Marbella Now, and it's with Radio Television Marbella. I do have a website that someone told me today isn't working, so.
Oh, no.
But it's nicoleking.es.
Okay.
But I also have Instagrams and Facebook, and so you can always just contact the television or Selena.
Okay,
so
I've got all the contact details.
Exactly. And everybody is welcome within reason on the show. There's very rarely I will say no to someone coming. There'd have to be a very strong reason why not. But everyone's welcome to come on at no charge. And the idea is just to share what we do, meet the right people to make the best advantage.
Great.
A lot of people make mistakes, by the way, just to say they invest lots of money and they don't do market research and they, you know what I mean? Or they, just like get involved, get to the town hall, find out what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. And Lisa, just remind us what you do.
Yes, well, firstly, I'd like to apologise for swearing live on radio to your listeners. And I'm not usually quite as bad as that. I'm a health and weight loss coach. I help people. I always say the weight loss is a lovely byproduct. It's about improving all elements of health and well-being, and feeling better and better about yourself, and losing weight and turning up. And they can find me at www.lisaali.com.
Super. And your Thrive Wellness, is that right?
Yes, it's Thrive Wellness Journeys. So I've created Experience to Nurture Your Soul. So different kinds of experiences, you can find me there. And then my Instagram is it's at Tanya Wellness, I think that's
well
what it
done.
Is. Yeah, Tanya Wellness. Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, and I'd just like to thank you so much. It's been a joy to participate. Thank you for all of you for this wonderful.
Thank you. Sorry and thank you.
I write for the Euro Weekly News.
You do indeed.
I do. I have a column every week in the Euro Weekly. I have done for about 10 years now already, my love.
Wow.
So
well
I also do that. And thank you, Selena.
You're a busy bee. No, thank you, ladies. It's not easy to talk about these things, and I think we're helping others hopefully by doing so. Just want to let everyone know that I'm not here tomorrow because, as usual, it's Howard with the Friday Conversation. I'll be back on Sunday with your Sunday Selection and on Monday with more lifestyles. I want to thank you, ladies, and I want to finish off by saying never stop believing. Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.